Let me just start by reading our passage from Sunday. Acts 2, and I'll just start at 36. We'll just read to 43 tonight. And let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody held up a glass and asked, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" And one man shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." And Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out the sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, again, we do thank you for this time, Lord, tonight. I know, Father, we are tired, and Lord, I just ask that you would just lead God and direct through your Spirit, even tonight, Lord, and whatever you want to be said would be said. And again, we just again thank you for your word, and thank you for all that you have blessed us with through it. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for these verses that remind us of the simplicity of your church, and yet how vital these things are to the health of it. So we just ask that you would bless the time, and again, we just thank you most of all for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just look to him tonight. It's in his precious name we pray, amen. I was thinking about what we talked about on Sunday. I was thinking about this, you know, the idea of this simple blueprint. And I was wondering, you know, I don't know, it just seems so obvious to me as I read through, and I think it's so, I think the reason for me personally that my convictions fall on Acts 2:42 so strongly is because it is the least amount that man had anything to do with the organization of the church. And I use those terms very pointedly. Man didn't have time to get his hands on the blueprint and twist it around and change it. This is literally men being saved the day of Pentecost, which is arguably the start of the church, right? And what did the church do? Before man had time to twist it around and make it into something that it's not. This is what they did. This is what they devoted themselves to. And I think that that's why, for me personally, it's what I'm going to devote myself to, because, again, it came from the Holy Spirit through the apostles, and it didn't have time to get through sinful man's hands to manipulate and to change and to make it something that the Lord never designed it to be. See what I'm saying? Like, it's like, boom, boom, boom. There's the church. This is what we did. This is what we should still be doing. And it just kind of gave me a sense of a surety again of just as we come together, as we are gathered together by the Lord, this, it doesn't have to be frilly. It doesn't have to be a lot of things that we make it today, that the church at large, the professing church, I would even say, at large, makes it. Because by doing so, they inevitably change the blueprint. If I would go on a job, look at the blueprints for that job that have the engineer seal and the architect stamp and everything and the township permits stapled to the window, taped to the window, and I go on that job and I look at the blueprint and I say, yeah, that's nice and all. I think I could do it a little better, though. I think I can do something here, add something there, and change something there. The bathroom doesn't look good there, and just start changing things and changing walls and moving studs. And how long would I have a job? I would be kicked off as soon as the super comes on the job. I would be done. What are you doing? There's the blueprint. Follow it. And today we have no problem with that. We have no problem following man's blueprints, because we know we will get fired if we change it. And so we stay the course of a simple man's drawing and blueprint so that we don't get fired. Yet do we handle God's word? Do we handle the body of Christ? Do we handle, I'll even go farther and say, the family the same way? Do we handle it with the same care that we would at work? Do we handle the blueprint the same way? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think, I'm speaking to the church at large, but if it hits a chord with you, too bad, so sad. I don't think the church at large really cares what God wants or what God thinks. Because they've shown down through the ages that they want to manipulate it to what makes them feel good. And inevitably, when you do that, when you manipulate the blueprint, it changes it. Duh, right? It changes it. When you manipulate the blueprint, inevitably something gets missed. Right? If I say, well, I just want a bigger living room, so I'm going to get rid of the downstairs powder room. It's the way I want. Well, guess what? You don't have a powder room. And I'll be sitting on my couch someday in the living room watching TV. I'll be like, oh, why did I change that? I do not feel like going up the stairs to go to the bathroom. And so inevitably, when you change things, you take something away from it. I'm assuming you know where I'm going with this. When people, particularly people in charge of the way things are handled in a local body take away from the blueprint, or they add? Let's do that. They add. They want to, well, I gotta add my 2 cents to this. It still takes away. Because they say, well, we need to add at least 45 more minutes of singing. But they didn't add 45 minutes to the rest of the schedule. What's going to get taken away? Well, who knows? You take your pick. One of them's going to get taken away. If they add another 45 minutes to the preaching and teaching, something's going to get taken away if you don't have time to the schedule. I understand that I'm kind of speaking practically here, but the reality is this is what happens. I can't tell you how many times I'll be away, or I visit somewhere, and I just miss having these things that God has designed for us in the body. I miss this idea of just being able to come together and simply to sit around the table and you look up and you see the emblems there that they're not the blood in the body, but they represent the blood in the body, and it reminds me right away. You know, it takes my mind back to, well, why the bread? Why the cup? And then we move forward from that beautiful time of remembrance to the time that we teach God's word, and the kids get their teaching, and we hopefully get our teaching, and hopefully it's biblical, and we try and stay true to the actual word of God, and it's like, huh. Like, we got our teaching, and then we get to fellowship, and I understand that there's a lot more, and we're going to hear about fellowship this week. But part of the fellowship is with what we have with one another, and part of it is what we have with God, right? We have communion and fellowship with each other. We have communion and fellowship with God. And that beautiful time, like, where I get to be with my brothers and sisters and have this in common, right? They had these things in common. And we have these, I hope, we have these things in common. And of course we pray on a Sunday morning, and because we're together, it is corporate, and you know, it's maybe a little different prayer than the supplication that you'll see more on Wednesday night. But again, that's something we kind of, we glean from the scriptures, but still kind of man prescribed of how we pray or what we, like some of us might think, well, it would be better to be a little bit more purposeful in our prayer for certain things, maybe things that God cares for. But anyway, we still try and get together. And I look and I say, what could you take away? What could you take away from this simple, the most simplest blueprint ever given, yet the most vital blueprint ever given? What could you take away and have a healthy church? Brothers and sisters, I'm not joking when I say this right here tonight should alarm us a little bit. And quite frankly, I'm telling you right now, other than doing this, I don't know what to do about this. Because only God can change hearts. And I can give a commercial all I want from the pulpit on a Sunday morning of the importance and the vitalness of why we need to pray together. I can't change someone's heart, though. But look around you. Look around you. This should make us nervous. And I didn't have prayer, so I'm going to let John talk about the importance of prayer at the end of the month. But boy, this prayer is the power. This is the power. This is what we go before the living God and ask for power and wisdom and strength and guidance on how to live in this crooked and perverse generation. But it's no different. It's no different than what was written in Acts by Luke from the very first day of the church. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Well, how are we going to do that? When we talk about the Spirit's work and what happened that day, I sometimes get the impression that we look at it as a different spirit. That, yes, these apostles were men handpicked of God to do a specific work. They were sent ones. The simple definition of apostle, sent ones. But they were, and I use this, and this is just me, they were capital A apostles. We have no small A apostles today. Like, they were capital A apostles. There's no apostolic succession in a sense. What the succession is what they taught. And that's what we need to teach. But it's unmistakable what the Spirit was doing and did in that day. And we look at it and say, wow, that was supernatural. Wow, this was awesome. Wow. Like, just look at what happened that day. 3,000 souls were saved. Wow. This is extraordinary. And in a sense, you could say yes. But like I said on Sunday, don't we have the exact same Spirit living and indwelling in us? We talked about the difference between what the disciples, who they were, and, you know, as we were teaching in Mark, and who they were on the day of Pentecost and moving forward. These are men that were so bold, they didn't care. You go from the fraidy cats in the boat to men that were so bold, it's like, you can do whatever you want to me, but I know the God who controls my soul. You can kill the body. And every one of them but one was killed for him. And so you see this difference. And you say, man, boy, do I wish. Boy, do I wish. Well, how are we going to do it? Because we would all agree tonight that it's the same Holy Spirit as it was the day of Pentecost. Would you agree that it's the same baptism of the Spirit? Now, I'm going to clarify that for you. Because they were baptized by the Spirit, right? And then they were asked to be baptized. Do you understand? There's a difference between, it says that, remember I read from the beginning of Acts and it said, John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's not a water baptism they're talking about. The day of Pentecost, there's a clear contrast, and I love how the scriptures just makes it clear. John baptized you with water. This is a different baptism. Let me ask you something. Are we baptized with the Spirit? Are we baptized with the Spirit? James, you're kind of not here. Yes or no, maybe so. Okay. Huh? Mm-hmm. Are we baptized by the Spirit? Okay. It's okay to say yes. Yes. Yes, we are baptized by the Spirit. How many times are we baptized by the Spirit? Okay. You sure about that? I'm just trying to draw out Dan's Pentecostal, you know, leanings. No trick questions. Paul, the one passage that Paul talks about the body, and the body is, you know, many parts, but it's still one body, right? And so it is with Christ. What does he say in that passage? He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many or one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. We were all baptized. So the apostles, we would agree that the apostles had the same Spirit, that they were baptized that day. The tongues of fire came down. Now it's a little different for us, but when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, the promised guarantee of our salvation, the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the same body that the apostles were baptized into. The same building that's being, the Spirit, same spiritual building that's being built up. Though the apostles have a special part of that, right? Because they're with the prophets. They're with the prophets. The apostles and the prophets were the foundation of this spiritual building being built up, because the prophets and the apostles had a special role, because the prophets got their word directly from God, and as they got it from God, they wrote down, right? They wrote the scriptures, and the apostles, same thing. When they got the word, that's what I said on Sunday. These men were literally, as they were speaking the word of God into existence through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that every time James or Peter or Paul said something that it was the word of God, right? Would you agree with that? Not everything they said was the word of God. But clearly they were led to write down, what is 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so we can't negate this idea that, yes, the apostles, this was a unique ushering in of a new economy. It's maybe the best way I can think about saying it. This is a new economy. Totally different. Even when they meet, it's going to be totally different. They're not going to the temple anymore. They're going... Now, Paul would still visit the temple, right? I mean, that was one of the first things he normally did when he visited a city, right? He'd go to the temple and he'd preach to them. But they weren't going there to be gathered together as the church anymore. Everything's different. They're not even gathering the same day of the week. Everything's different. This is, again, but what's different, though, for us today? I keep thinking about it, like, same Holy Spirit, same baptism, same everything. Do you feel like we have that power today? Do you feel like we are using that power today? I didn't ask, can we have the same power of the Holy Spirit today? Because we know that that's true, because it's the same Holy Spirit. We already established that. Are we using that power today? Amen. Amen. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I read that D.L. Moody. And that might be too simplistic. I don't know. But all I know is the more I'm washing myself in the Word of God, the more I know I'm doing the things that I know to do that I have been commanded of me in obedience to the Lord. The more I'm doing that and walking that way in my life, the more it pushes out the bad. So that the Spirit can have control. I said on Sunday that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are synonymous in the Scriptures. Does anyone disagree with that? No. Why? There's some simple reasons why. He wrote it, for one thing, right? The Spirit wrote the Word of God. Yes, he used men. He even used their character, or maybe their writing style, whatever. But he used men to write his word. I mean, you know, if you read Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, there are certain verses that are almost identical, but the one's talking about the Word of God and one's talking about the Spirit of God, right? But it's like the same wording. To be baptized is to be submersed or immersed in. How are we to be immersed in, or how do people see that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Again, I'm not looking. I wanted to say this tonight. Isn't it interesting that the apostles never looked for the experience again? Show me one place in the Scriptures where the apostles return to the upper room and say, bring it on! Come on! Bring the fire down! Yet you see morons doing that all the time, calling for the fire from heaven as a baptism. Brothers and sisters, I don't want the fire from heaven because it would consume me. Because our God is a consuming fire. I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need the baptism again. What I need to do is get rid of the crap in me, pardon my language, get rid of the crap in me so that the Spirit can fulfill me. Because we didn't go back to the question yet. Do you really see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you and in this place? We are all baptized into one body. Where's the body? I think we're going to continue to stumble over our own feet until we seriously get serious about what it is that again is important to God. It's the simple things. It's the simple things. And yes, we as a quote-unquote New Testament church check all the boxes. Do we? Do we? Because on Sunday, I asked, which one of these things do you want to take out and still have it a healthy church? And I got all the heads, you can't do that. I also asked, which one of these was the most important in the church? You can't do that. Go ahead.
Question would be, which one is the question?
Well, that's... Yeah, and I'm not talking about a legalistic, like, you have to make every meeting. Listen, there are legitimate reasons why people aren't here tonight.
Life happens.
There's legitimate reasons why you might miss a Sunday, except for stands. That was a bunch of baloney. You know, I thanked him for not coming, because I can deal with a cough. I can't deal with some. I'm a big baby. Yeah, no. I still don't want to go near him. No, but I got to tell you, I'm the same way. I miss you when you're not here. Mm-hmm. I miss the ones that fellowship, that I usually fellowship with, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, just think about it from the standpoint of why we were given our spiritual gifts.
Right.
We were given our spiritual gifts for the fellowship. Mm-hmm.
You know what it is, John? It's the ear saying to the hand, I have no need of thee. We were all baptized into one body. This body that is made up of many members, though it is one. Right? And that's... I think that's the thing that hit me the most in this. Because if we say we love each other, right? Like this is a family. We're a family. Body's only used so many times in the New Testament. Family's used a lot. We are a family. Family loves each other. Family wants the best for one another. Family thinks the best of each other. Family, you know, it's, you know, and so, you know, again, you can go to the 1 Corinthians 13. And I think what you were saying, John, is really important, and I'm going to close. I think what's so interesting about fellowship is that it plays a part in all of these. Right? Fellowship's the one thing that plays a part in all of them. You could say the Apostles' Doctrine, because like I said on Sunday, I find it interesting that it's the first one in the list. Doesn't mean it's any more important. It just means that in chronological order of things, to me it makes sense, just because without it, you wouldn't know any of the others. You couldn't take... You know, because I think we relegate fellowship to, like, you know, we think it's like, you know, going downstairs and having a potluck. And the reality is fellowship is so intertwined with everything in the blueprint. So intertwined. There's just absolutely no way you could pull the fellowship out. It's like you almost have automatically fellowship. Doesn't necessarily mean it's good if you're actually doing the other three. You're actually having fellowship. And I'm really excited to where Keith takes it this Sunday. So, but anyway, I just tonight, and I didn't even know where we were going to go. I had 12 questions. I didn't even ask one of them on this list. But I did know I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I did know that I just want to make it clear that we're all on the same page, that the Holy Spirit is the power of the church. And what you know, he leads, guides, and directs. And the prayer is the power of the church. Because it's like what calls God to help us in our need. It's what we lay before his feet, before the throne of grace. And it's just so important for us to understand that it's not a different Holy Spirit. And sometimes I look at these stories, and I'm glad versus like Elijah was a man just like us. Or in James, you know, I'm glad those verses are there, because I would say, yeah, but that was them. Not me. And then I got to ask myself, okay, if it's not me, then why? Why isn't it me? I'm not saying that I'm going to go around and start, you know, healing people. And man, I wish I had that power. But I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the healing and the wonders all faded away before the end of the apostles. Do we all agree on that? If not, why didn't Paul heal? And like Timothy, you know, why wasn't Paul healing those that were sick? Why didn't Paul just heal Timothy? Why didn't Paul, you know, there's you see the signs to bring credibility to the new message and the way, all fading away. It's not about the signs, not about the wonders. And yet you see the power of the preaching, and you see the power of the word of God, and you see the people being saved. And it's like, do we want that? Do we desire that power? Do we? Because we have access to it. It's a matter of yielding to it to get it. I hope they're not looking at us, actually. I hope they can't see us. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, we're out of time, but I'm just going to read this last verse from Paul. As he spoke to Timothy in chapter 4, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let me just repeat 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings. Are we to guard the pulpit in a sense of knowing what's being spoken here, and that it's the word of God, and that we're rightly dividing the word of God? Keep close watch on yourself and on the teachings. Persist in this. It's a very strong word. By doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Father, again, we do thank you for this time tonight. We just Lord, we just ask that you would be with those that couldn't be with us tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, help us to understand what is important to you today. And sometimes we get so confounded by trying to figure out your will that it's something very elaborate, yet we don't do the simple things. And so why would we, why would you give us a more elaborate plan? Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, help us to show our dependence on you in prayer. And Lord, help us to keep obedient to the simple things, Lord, until you return. Lord, because those simple things are what you put in place, and they're so vital for not only our health, but our health as a body, as a family, as we commune with one another. Again, Lord, please take us out in safety. Lord, keep us, Lord, just give us a good night tonight. And it's in your precious word that name we pray these things. Amen.